Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. Now it's time to check in with WNYC planning editor Kate Hines. We call it Kate Has a Plan. She always has a plan for where her reporters are going and what they're covering in the newsroom. And this week, as you can imagine, it's COVID-19. Hi, Kate.
Hi, Allison.
So I understand, I'm looking here, that the New York State budget is due tomorrow.
Yeah. Our new fiscal year starts tomorrow.
So obviously, when Cuomo proposed his budget, the pandemic was not really on the horizon yet.
Right.
What are we expecting? What are we expecting tomorrow?
We don't know. Every year, the legislature and the governor get kind of criticized for holding budget talks behind closed doors and doing everything last minute and keeping it quiet. And I think this year, the level of opacity may reach new heights. We just don't know. And there are not a huge amount of reporters in Albany right now, although our own Karen DeWitt is there. We know that when Cuomo first proposed his budget back in January, there was a $6 billion budget gap that was pre-coronavirus. And now there are projections that say that gap could grow to $10 to $15 billion by the time the coronavirus runs its course, because revenues have just stopped. You know, businesses have shut down. The state's tax deadline has been delayed until July 15th, and so the money will still come in, but it's going to be a trickle compared to what it was. So the state doesn't even really know what its revenues are going to look like. So there are a lot of unknowns, but we have to have a budget by April 1st, and so legislators are in Albany working right now.
There were a whole bunch of things involved in the budget that obviously had nothing to do with coronavirus. There were also sort of social agenda things like marijuana and bail reform. I'm assuming they're still on the agenda.
They are. They seem to be. I know I've heard that there is sort of like a placeholder for marijuana in the budget. I'm not too sure what that means. And people still are talking about bail reform. But again, there's so much that's unclear. I just don't know.
All right. Let's talk about what's happening closer to home here in New York City. Hospital bed capacity, that has been the big, big issue. Where are we standing on increasing those numbers?
The governor has ordered hospitals to increase capacity quite dramatically, and it's been really hard to track how they're able to do that. You know, there's no sort of portal that says X hospital has Y number of beds, but we are trying to keep track of it, and you can see what we've got on the Gothamist website. But we know that hospitals alone aren't going to do it, which is why you see things like the Navy ship, the Comfort, pulling into Manhattan yesterday, which is going to be docked somewhere in New York City and will be able to have 1,000 hospital beds in it. We have a hospital going up in Roosevelt Island. We have a hospital going up in the Billie Jean King National Tennis Center in Flushing Meadows Corona Park that will provide 350 beds. And another, the tennis center's Louis Armstrong Stadium will be turned into a commissary so it can feed hospital workers and other first responders. So some of these beds will not be for coronavirus patients. They will be the spillover from hospitals who need to take coronavirus patients. It's not entirely clear to me if these hospital units will be equipped with ventilators, which is, of course, a critical concern for people with breathing difficulty. And then there are hospital tents being set up in Central Park by an organization that is an evangelical Christian organization, and that has created a little bit of controversy here in New York.
Yeah, explain why. There's an article in Gothamist. I'll read the headline. Group behind Central Park Coronavirus Tent Hospital asks volunteers to support anti-gay agenda.
Right. The group is mentioned by Franklin Graham, who is the son of Reverend Billy Graham, and he has made a number of anti-LGBTQ comments in the past and has a track record of using humanitarian missions overseas to proselytize. They require that all of their volunteers read and adhere to a statement of faith. So people are very concerned about this. The mayor's office is saying look, this is not going to be an issue. They have to abide by New York City human rights laws. Discrimination, you know, is not legal in New York. They have to operate as a Mount Sinai facility because that's the hospital that they are going to be working with. They have to adhere to that hospital policy against discrimination. But, you know, it's hard to not see how this was going to, you know, this was going to cause problems. And so our reporter Jake Offenhartz is going to be following up on that today.
My guest is WNYC planning editor Kate Hines. We're talking about the WNYC news plan. All right, so the must-see TV event of the day, Governor Cuomo's press conferences. What did we learn today?
It was a long press conference that has come to fulfill the format that we know and come to expect from Cuomo, which is he starts with the numbers, and we know that by now there are about 75,000 coronavirus cases in New York. Most of them are in New York City. Something like 11,000 people are in hospitals, and of that number, a little over 2,700 are in intensive care. But Cuomo took pains to say nearly 5,000 people have been discharged from hospitals. You know, people do recover from that, and he's trying to make sure that we keep that in mind. But the goal is, he keeps referring to it as a two-pronged approach. We have to keep our hospital system up and running and functional. It can't get overwhelmed. And in order to do that, we have to take some social responsibility, which means don't get infected in the first place because it creates a burden on the healthcare system that it probably won't be able to handle. So, you know, he keeps stressing the point, stay home, don't go outside unless you absolutely positively have to. And, you know, he reached the point which has come to sort of be known internally as the Dharma talk, the Dharma conversation, where he sort of speaks to your, like, spiritual, emotional, and mental health. And today he said, look, I know this is physically and emotionally exhausting for people because what people want to know is when is this going to end? And this is how he addressed that.
You can have a hypothesis, you can have a projection, you can have an opinion, but nobody knows. I can say this, it is not going to be soon. If our apex is 14 to 21 days, that's our apex. You then have to come down the other side of the mountain once you hit the apex. So calibrate yourself and your expectations so you're not disappointed every morning you get up.
So that was some pretty straight talk from the governor.
And I don't know if you saw last night, he was on air with his brother, Chris Cuomo at CNN, who has just been, released that he has COVID-19, where he really pressed his brother on a presidential run.
Yeah, the adoration of Governor Cuomo continues unabated, seemingly, on social media and in mainstream media as well. You know, Cuomo is denying it. Democrats are denying it. But, you know, there it is.
Let's talk about a couple of things that have changed in terms of the way we live our lives. Aside from the obvious, Kate, plastic bags are back?
Well, it's not that they're back. It's that the ban that was supposed to begin being enforced, the New York State ban on plastic bags, enforcement has been kind of tabled. And in the meantime, we've got, you know, the plastic bag industry sending letters to government officials saying, like, hey, we're here, we're really sanitary, single-use plastic bags, more important now than ever. And so a lot of environmentalists are concerned, and legislators are concerned that plastic bags are going to once again have a little, you know, use this moment to carve out a toehold for themselves, if not roll back New York's law altogether. And then, you know, we've all sort of been noticing, if you do go out on the street, you're seeing a ton of latex gloves just piling up on the sidewalk and in the street. I see it in my neighborhood. I see it in other neighborhoods on social media. So one of our producers, Catherine Fung, is taking a look at this because she kind of wants to see what the environmental impact of this is going to be. And I should say that this goes, you know, on the pro-environment side, carbon emissions are down. You know, car traffic is down. The air quality is actually better. So, you know, there are pros and cons.
In our last minute, how are apartment buildings handling COVID?
We're trying to wrap our arms around this. There's a whole range of things. Buildings are trying to grapple with sort of personal health versus the public right to know? Do you need to inform your landlord or your co-op board if you've been diagnosed with coronavirus? If you do, what does that mean? You know, like, how are you going to be treated in your building? Will you be permitted to go downstairs and get your mail? Some buildings are now saying you can't get food delivery up to your door anymore. You have to come down and get it. And other residents are saying, but wait, I'm not supposed to leave my apartment building in the first place. So it's a kind of thorny issue, and there's no one way to do it. And there's not a huge amount of guidance for large apartment buildings in New York City. So a lot of buildings are just really grappling with this unknown right now.
We've been listening to WNYC's planning editor, Kate Hines. Kate, as always, nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you, Allison. Take care.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart, and I will meet you at the top of the hour.